The Lord be with you. A reading from the Holy Gospel according to Matthew. When Jesus heard of the death of John the Baptist, he withdrew in a boat to a deserted place by himself. The crowds heard of this and followed him on foot to their, from their towns. When he disembarked and saw the vast crowd, his heart was moved with pity for them, and he cured their sick. When it was evening, the disciples approached him and said, "This is a deserted place, and it is already late. Dismiss the crowds, so that they can go to the villages and buy food for themselves." He said to them, "There is no need for them to go away. Give them some food yourselves." But they said to him, "Five loaves and two fish are all we have here." Then he said, "Bring them here to me." And he ordered the crowds to sit down on the grass. Taking the five loaves and the two fish and looking up to heaven, he said the blessing, broke the loaves, and gave them to the disciples, who in turn gave them to the crowds. They all ate and were satisfied. And they picked up the fragments left over, 12 wicker baskets full. Those who ate were about 5,000 men, not counting women and children. The Gospel of the Lord. A saint is simply somebody who became everything that God created him to become. That's a very simple definition of a saint, but there's no fault in it. A saint cooperated with God's will and didn't oppose God's will, and as a consequence, God was able to make them into who he created them to be. And as a consequence of that, there's an astonishing variety among all the saints in our church. You ever stop to consider the variety that is out there in the natural world and how much God loves variety? I mean, look at the number of bugs, for example. God must love variety. And the number of trees and all the flowers and the plants and the variety of animals on the land and the fishes in the sea. You know, they say that every angel is its own species, such that one angel is as different from another as, say, a giraffe is different from a lion. Absolutely filled with variety. And as a consequence, there's a tremendous variety among the saints. As you know, there are saints who were big sinners. Saints like Augustine or Mary Magdalene. There's actually lots of them. Margaret of Cortona, Moses the Ethiopian. I could go on and on there. There's some saints who are innocent from the earliest days. Our very own St. Therese is such an example. There are saints who are prodigies. Catherine of Siena had mystical visions of Christ from the age of 6. God can do that. He can raise up a Rembrandt. He can raise up a Mozart among his holy ones. There are many saints who are poor, because you know it's easier to find God if you're poor. But there were some saints who were rich as well. Louis, King of France, or our very own Thomas More, patron of our diocese. But the saints I personally love best are the saints who are absolutely ordinary, because those are the ones that I relate to. There's probably no saint more ordinary in all of our church calendar than the saint whose feast day we celebrate today, Saint John Vianney, patron saint of parish priests, who spent his entire priesthood in just one parish. Lucky dog, never got transferred. But he was absolutely ordinary. And so was his little village where he lived. The village was named Ars. I've been to Ars. Utterly unimpressive, nothing more than the intersection of a couple of streets. And the years were the early to mid 1800s. In terms of natural gifts, John Vianney was nothing special. Wasn't particularly bright. Flunked out of seminary 3 times. Had a hard time learning Latin. He wasn't a particularly good administrator. He basically just let somebody else do that. He wasn't a particularly talented speaker either. You can read the sermons of St. John Vianney. They're astonishingly simple. The thing that St. John Vianney had was holiness. He was one of those rare souls that was known to be a saint while he lived. And you want to know something? His holiness was forged in suffering. When it came time for John Vianney to be ordained a priest, his classmates from the seminary refused to be ordained with him. He had to be ordained off on a side altar. And part of the reason for that wasn't just because he flunked out of seminary, it was because he had a reputation for being a deserter from the military. Now, John Vianney was conscripted into the French military in the days of Napoleon Bonaparte. And he was a lousy soldier. Couldn't keep up with all the other soldiers, lagged behind. In fact, he lagged so far behind the other soldiers that people thought he had deserted in a time of war. He was just slow. Now, deserting the army of Napoleon was a crime punishable by death. And John Vianney lived as an outlaw for months and months to protect his life. His brother found out about it and cleared John Vianney's name by joining the military in his place, tragically later killed in battle in the Napoleonic Wars, broke his mother's heart. They say his mother died of a broken heart, and John Vianney didn't know anything about any of this, and he went home and he knocked on the door and he saw his father grief-stricken, blaming John Vianney for the death of his wife, the death of his son. He says, "I never want to see your face again, never come home." Hard suffering. He offered it all up to God in faith, and he became a friend of God. A man whose holiness was evident to anyone who saw him. There was a lawyer in Paris who heard about the reputation of John Vianney in this little town of Ars and decided to go down to investigate, came back up to his law offices. All of his co-workers says, "What's he like? What's he like? What's the story of John Vianney of Ars?" And he says, "I don't know. I couldn't barely see him. He was hardly taller than the pulpit. Couldn't hear his voice. He was too soft. All I know is that I saw God in a man." There are eyewitness accounts of mystical phenomena in the life of John Vianney. They say he physically wrestled with the devil. Now, eyewitness accounts affirm this. But they heard a voice speaking to him one night after a tussle. A frightening voice that said, "If there were three more priests like you in this world, my kingdom would be destroyed." Now, here on the Feast of John Vianney, I only have one simple request for you, the people, and that is to pray for your priest, because I'll tell you, there's a funny interplay between the prayers and the desires of the faithful and the kind of leadership God sends to the faithful. Funny interplay. Now, that's really on display in the Old Testament. When the people of the Old Testament sin, turned away from God, wouldn't keep his covenant, God's deepest punishment was to shut the mouths of his prophets. The word of God would no longer be proclaimed. When the people neglected and abused the prophets that God had sent, God took the prophets away from them. There were no longer a prophet in their midst. But when the people cried out to God in repentance and in their need, he raised up mighty leaders to help guide them back to himself. It's a funny interplay between the desires of the people and the kind of leadership that God sends. You want the gospel to be proclaimed? You want the grace of this Eucharist to flow from outside the confines of this church and out into the world? You want to change the hearts of those who will not darken the doorstep of a church? Pray for your priests. Much hangs in the balance. There's a classic book of the spiritual life. It's called The Soul of the Apostolate. Hope you've heard of it. If you haven't heard of it, let me introduce you to this for the very first time. Classic of the spiritual life. It's all about prayer. It's called The Soul of the Apostolate. And in that book, it makes an astonishing claim. It says that the holiness of the people will be 1 degree less than the holiness of the leaders God sends. 1 degree removed, such that if the priest is a saint, the people will be fervent. If the priest is fervent, the people will be pious. If the priest is pious, the people will be decent. But if the priest is only decent, the people will not believe at all. Pray for your priest. We have plenty of priests who are scholars, plenty of priests who are PhDs, dime a dozen. We have plenty of priests who are great administrators. Do you know all those Renaissance popes that we're also embarrassed about? All those Renaissance popes with their those are the best administrators in the history of the church. Great administrators. We have plenty of priests who can put together a decent homily. It's really just a skill, nothing more. What we don't have plenty of are priests who are saints. The renewal of the church depends on it. But whether that renewal ever happens or not depends very much on you. Let's ask for the prayers of the saints to help us today. St. John Vianney, pray for us.